Wow, this is intimidating. Hi, everybody. I'm Jen, and I'm a really grateful member of Al-Anon. It's so nice to look out and see so many familiar faces, people I haven't seen in a while, people tonight I got to hug for the first time in probably, what, a couple years or more because of COVID. And I've been coming to this Saturday morning meeting for a long time. I'm not sure how long exactly, but during COVID and a while afterwards, I was on the Zoom meeting for this same meeting. And hi, Zoomers. So weird, right? It's nice, though, that many people aren't also here. Anyway. So, but I've been ba coming back to the in-person meeting for I think a few months now, and it's just amazing. I just absolutely love our 8 a.m. meeting.
Yeah, I can hear the meeting. I just turned off the video so
Are we good? Okay. Anyway, I just love it, and I'm the kind of person that I never used to be up at that hour at all, and now I'm actually awake and dressed with my coffee and my breakfast often at that meeting. So I welcome everybody who doesn't come to join us. It's in Concord at the hospital. Anyway, I'm going to just try to talk about my journey getting to Al-Anon. Oh, I forgot to set my alarm. My journey getting to Al-Anon, how it's been in Al-Anon, how it is now. I just hope that I am able to share something that help somebody or brings you comfort, or that you relate to, because that's what I find in Al-Anon. I find a lot of comfort and a lot of identifying with people who seem to feel and have the same experiences that I've had. And I just always feel welcomed and at home in Al-Anon. So, so I grew up with alcoholism, which probably isn't a surprise. My dad was the drinker. He's since passed, so I feel like, you know, I can say he was definitely an alcoholic. He died from this disease, very tragically. So I'll back up. So anyway, growing up in alcoholism, what that felt like for me was unsafe a lot of times. I didn't really feel like it was okay to express my feelings. I guess that just wasn't the thing in our family. You know, we didn't talk about feelings, you know, like I did with my son. You know, oh, honey, how are you feeling today? How was your first day of school? You know, that just, you know, that didn't happen in my family. Most of the feelings I saw were anger. And it's not really a feeling, but tension, that walking on eggshell feeling. That's a feeling. So I did experience those feelings. I think I experienced a lot of sadness and disappointment, but I don't think I felt it at the time. I can look back and see there was a lot of that, but I didn't know that at the time. I didn't experience it. So, like I said, there was a lot of drinking in my family. My father's side of the family was Italian. We got together every Sunday at my grandparents' for dinner. We were there most of the day. It was just our culture. That's what we did. It was all about food and drinking and having a good time. Like we did. We had a good time. I was with my cousins. I was just raised with my cousins, and everything was fun and nice until like the end of the evening, and that was where usually the trouble began. And you know, somebody was driving drunk, and so there was arguing, and that's where a lot of the fear came from for me. So that was difficult. As I got older, when I was younger and my sister's 6 years older than me, we looked pretty normal, our family. You know, everything on the outside looked good. And We did like family stuff, but soon after my sister left, things kind of changed. My father's alcoholism got a lot worse, and my mom's focus really became on him and his drinking. And so our sense of family, really, the dynamics of that were really different. It was really, I think they were really focused on being a couple. And I think what it was is my mom was, trying to save the marriage, and I wasn't a priority, and I talk about that now because just I bring it up because that's one of the things in Al-Anon, the healing. Al-Anon has brought me so much healing around that, to be able to talk about it. I never talked about it until I came to Al-Anon, the way that felt and what that experience was like. And like I said, the identification and reading, reading in all our books and reading exactly how my experience was and how it felt. And so I just wanted to point out that a lot of healing has happened. I think a lot more healing needs to happen, but I know that I can find that in Al-Anon. Anyway, so as I got older, like I said, things were really focused on my dad's drinking. And so early in my 20s, I found myself in therapy. And pretty quickly, my therapist recommended that I go to Al-Anon. He picked up really fast. My boyfriend at that time was a drinker. My dad was a drinker. Anyway, so soon after that, so I started in Al-Anon in my early 20s, like 40 years ago. But I can't say that I started then and went consistently until now. But I did start then, and I did. When I think I'm trying to remember who read it, but I think it was Lindsay, about adult children of alcoholics. And when she was reading all of those symptoms, like check, 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 like all of that. And if I had a good memory, I could state them all, but I don't. But I will tell you that I identify with all of them. And so when I started in ACA, I don't know if they call it that anymore, but that's what we called it then. Wow, was that mind blowing? Because like I didn't know that there was other people like me that felt like me, that was experienced what I experienced growing up. And that's when I feel like I started some healing. And like I said, I didn't go from then on consistently, but it seems like I had a pattern. I would go to Al-Anon, it would be working, I would feel better. And then of course I would leave, doesn't that make sense? And then I would leave for a while, and then I would find myself in another relationship, probably with another alcoholic, and then there I was back in the rooms again. Thank goodness I kept coming back. But I've been going consistently now for a number of years. I'll just share a little bit about my journey with my dad. And like I said, he died from this disease. My dad twice went through hospitalizations. The final time he was in the hospital, he had the full on DTs. He was strapped down to the bed. He was hallucinating. He was hearing things. It's what you read about, it's what I used to see on TV. And it was so surreal. Like I just, it's a terrible, devastating disease. And to watch my dad go through that, it was really painful. It was really painful. And like I said, he went through it twice. And the first time he went through, and then, he came out of it. And then he decided to continue to drink. And then the second time he came out of it, and he was never the same. He went in one man and he came out a different man. He shuffled when he walked. And so it just, it's just a reminder for me, the devastation of this disease and the pain that people go through. Again, makes me so grateful for Al-Anon to be able to come here and get comfort around that. And So that's what happened with my dad. So more importantly, I really just wanted to talk a little bit about wow. I have a lot of time left. So what I wanted to just read a little bit because I really identify with this, all of this in here. I humor me on this reading, but this is in How Al-Anon Works, our book, one of our great books. And this is in step one, because boy, I really identified as step one, and not just around alcoholism, but like this explains my powerlessness around people, places, and things. So, whether or not we live with active drinking, life is unmanageable whenever we lose perspective about what is and is not our responsibility. Boy, that's a big one for me. What is and is what is not my responsibility? I used to think everything was my responsibility. Everybody was my responsibility because that's what I learned growing up. I was the moderator between my parents. I remember being with my parents and we were at a restaurant and they were in the middle of an argument. And I remember taking my hands and saying, like to my dad and to my mom, no, that's not what she meant when she said that. She meant this because that's obnoxious and controlling. But what it really was is I was terrified. I was terrified because they were fighting again, and I was afraid of what was going to happen. And even though it never looked violent until the end, it felt like it was going to go that way. That was the fear I had, and that somebody was going to leave, somebody was going to get mad, and somebody was going to leave. And it was, I know now looking back, I was just really afraid and trying to fix it. So we take offense at actions that have nothing to do with us. Oh, gosh, I do that taking things personally. Even strangers. And another time, I was watching that movie, My Name is Bill W, on TV, for those of you that have seen it. And I remember this was way back in my late 20s, and I'm watching that movie, and I'm like talking to the TV, like, no, don't. Drink again, like literally out loud talking to the TV, this illusion I had of control. Or we intervene where it is inappropriate and neglect our legitimate obligations to ourselves and others. I have a son. I raised him as a single mom because his dad left, and so it was a lot being a single mom. And but what I realized in Al-Anon, like many years later, I was really obsessed with my niece and her life and the way she was living her life and all the things that her mother wasn't doing or should have been doing and taking care of. And I realized one day that I was so immersed in this thinking I knew the agenda of her life, that I wasn't paying attention to my own son. So that thing that I used to do, that I can sometimes do, that looks like I'm this really nice person. No, I had to make amends to my son for that I wasn't looking out for his best interest because of my addiction to trying to control other people. So which this says, our misplaced concern for others becomes intrusive, meddling, resented, and doomed to failure. Instead of helping those we care about, we demonstrate a lack of respect for them and create discord in our relationships. And so a big thing for me is this way that I think that I know what's better for somebody else and that I'm going to tell them because, you know, I know it's better, which I don't at all. And they have their own higher power. My old sponsor used to say, honey, he's got his own higher power and it's not you. And I forget that sometimes. So anyway, I think I lost my train of thought. That's okay. When our preoccupation with others distracts us from our responsibilities to attend to our own physical, emotional, and spiritual health, we suffer. So that's what I have discovered in Al-Anon, that because I wasn't taking care of myself, I suffered. And because I wasn't taking care of myself, I really wasn't there for the things that I needed to be doing. And I was recently diagnosed with, I have lupus, but with chronic fatigue syndrome. And I was at Stanford, and they were talking to me about it. And they were talking about how the worst thing you can do is like overdo and get exhausted and then push through and overdo again. And I was like, are they talking about me and my Al-Anon program? Like, are they talking about me not minding my own business? Because I do believe that, you know, I don't want to blame myself, but I think my illness has something to do with that. So there was just one other thing I wanted to read here. Yeah, okay. We don't know how to show affection or support without giving advice, seeking to sway another's decision, or trying to get those we love to do what we think will bring them happiness. We confuse caring with controlling because we don't know how to allow others the dignity of being themselves. And that's huge for me. Like, I've learned so much in Al-Anon about that. And one of our members, Ken, he's not here tonight, but he shared something with me one day after a meeting, and it helped me so much. And I don't think he'd mind me sharing, but he talked about how his dad talked to him, and I related because I realized that I had talked to my son that way. When I'm saying things like, and one of my old sponsors really helped me with this too, when I find myself saying, did you ever think about just those words? I was thinking maybe, you know, just those few words where the next thing I'm about to say is that you should do it this way because I know what's better. And what Ken shared with me is he realized that his dad was talking to him like that. And every time his dad did that, it made him feel like he was stupid, like his dad thought he was stupid. And I realized that I did that with my own son, you know, when he'd be talking to me about something, and I would just be sure that I knew how he should do it. And that when I told him that, I realized, wow, I'm doing the opposite thing I want to be doing. I want to be building him up and helping his self-esteem, but that every time I did that, I was somehow giving him the message that, you know, he wasn't good enough or he wasn't doing it right. And that was just the opposite of what I wanted to be doing. And I know that if I don't come to Al-Anon and I don't talk to my sponsor and I don't work my steps, that I can so easily slip into that. So that's why I keep coming back, because I do really want to be healthy and work this program. This will be the last thing I read. From past experience, we are terrified to let others do as they wish, but we only harm ourselves and others when we insist upon approaching every interaction in this way. Our relationships are damaged and our lives become even more unmanageable. So I guess that's what I'm trying to not do anymore. And working with somebody new now, my new sponsor, we've been talking a lot about, I hope I can put it into words, just how awful I can talk to myself. You know, I think I've worked a lot in Al-Anon about how I treat others, but I hope I'm really getting down and dirty with being nicer to myself and being gentler with myself. Because I have those voices still in my head that are really harsh and really judgmental. And I know where it comes from, but I'm really tired of it. I'm ready to do it differently. And she's helping me do that. And I'm very grateful for that. It's a new way. It's another new way. It's just a deeper level, I guess. And I yeah, so I'm trying that on. It's a new thing and I'm trying that on. And it's so foreign, which is, I think from my past, but like I said, and I told her I'm really committing to trying it and trying to soften that harsh critic that I have, that remembering that I'm doing the best I can. And I have Al-Anon, Al-Anon is so amazing to me. My life today is really amazing. Yeah, my son is 33. He's an amazing young man, and we have a really honest, open relationship, and that's incredible. So I still have my family of origin, though, right? So I'm always working on that, and I'll share a little story of an experience I had with my niece the other day. And I have a pattern in my family. It seems like when I get into some work around my family of origin, I start to feel that pain, and my reaction is to pull away from my family. And I'm never going to talk to them again, and they're awful, and I hate them. And I'm just being honest. And it's like a physical reaction, like I'm going to be over here and you're going to be way over there. And then something happens, like Christmas, and we're together again. And I'm like, this is nice, and then it gets hard again. And so I felt a bit unsettled with my relationship with my niece. I had a lot of resentments, and I felt like she got married, she had a baby, and I felt like she was leaving me out, And we've been talking about we should talk, talking about talking, and finally we talked, and she said, I noticed that all of a sudden you kind of disappear. And she was able to say, and I start making up stories. What we realized is we were both making up stories. And a sponsor told me that a long time ago. She says, you're making up all these stories. I was like, what do you mean I'm making up stories? She says, you're saying all these things that are going to happen or did happen, and they're not based on facts at all. Like you've got the whole, you're, I'm like 20 minutes into the conversation. I haven't even called the person yet. And so, anyway, what we discovered is we both do that, and which makes sense. We're from the same family, and she, we talked about it, and I said that I had hurt feelings, and so I pulled away, and she had hurt feelings because I pulled away, and I said I was able to say and realize. I sometimes don't have the courage to be honest about the way I feel. Sometimes that's a joke. I feel like that all the time. It's so hard for me to just be honest. And I can be honest with my fellows in my program. But when it comes to my family and talking about the way I feel, when this happened, I felt this way. It's really, really hard. So I was able to tell her that. And we made an agreement that we weren't going to do that anymore, that I was really going to try to be honest about the way I'm feeling. And she said, texting's great for that. So she kind of let me off the hook a little bit. She's like, you can text. And then if we're being honest with each other, we don't have to make up these stories. And she has this new beautiful baby. He's not even 3 months. He's my great nephew. And I love him so much. And my niece is, really important to me. We've been close most of her life. And she said to me, she said, because I don't want you to do that to him. And I said, I don't want to either. So it's a way that I can remember to have the courage to be honest about how I feel. And because I don't want to do that to him, and I don't want her to be worried that I'm going to do that to him. So I think I'm almost out of time. I just can't say enough about Al-Anon. I just don't know what I would do without it. And I just can't get enough of it. And I just love my people in Al-Anon. There's just nothing like it. And like I said, it's brought me a lot of healing, and I know it'll bring a lot more. And I love working with other people too, to see their healing. And I feel like it's an honor and a privilege to be speaking in an Al-Anon meeting. So I can't thank you enough for listening to me. And thanks again. And thank you. Thank you so much for the meeting.